Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you all here today listening to us live or in the podcast. I am talking to you from a rather rainy Pacific Northwest, and we enjoy the rain out here this time of year because it makes the forests what they are, so very beautiful. Today, I am really looking forward to this conversation. We have a return visitor who I invited right back to the show to talk about an important topic today, and that is NDE survivor David Bennett. Now, David had a near-death experience and has actually faced death multiple times, and he was on the show fairly recently talking about that experience, and I invite you to listen to that previous show as well. During our conversation a few weeks ago, David and I touched upon a topic that is really very near and dear to my heart, and I know touches the lives of many people. And this is the topic of spiritually transformative experiences. And we're going to talk about just how to approach understanding whether we've had one of these, and that is not easy to define either. Yet David talks about a study in which it's reported that more than 1 in 3 Americans have had a spiritually transformative experience. And I know this show is international. I'd love to have I'm sure there would be a similar study internationally as well if one existed. But I do know without a doubt that I am one of those Americans who has had this experience. And it was very powerful, and I would not be doing this radio show if not for those experiences in my life, which essentially really had an impact, and we'll talk a bit about that in a moment. Just a little bit more about David. David had a near-death experience when he was an adventurous ship chief engineer, and he essentially drowned in a violent storm and was technically dead. He had an amazing experience, which we talked about in our last show, and he wrote about his experience in his book, Voyage of Purpose, Spiritual Wisdom from Near Death Back to Life. David's journey since then has led him to be a public speaker, and he talks often in the NDE community. He's been on national news and PBS. He's written lots of articles. His website is up on the show page if you can see it. I know many of you listen to this in different ways, but it is dharmatalks.com. And I invite you to visit his site when you have a chance. He has also, in the midst of his journey, learned a great deal about spiritually transformative experiences, and certainly an NDE could be considered one, but it's not restricted to NDEs. So I am just so happy to bring David back on the program. Welcome back, David. It's so nice to have you back.
Thank you, Susan. It's great to be here and talking with you again.
Yes, yes. Well, I knew that I needed to bring you back quite soon because we barely brushed the surface of this topic the last time we talked, and I know it's really very important because it has quite an impact on people's lives, doesn't it, when you've had one of these experiences or if one of your loved ones has had an experience like this.
Yes, it does. And I don't think people appreciate how wide-ranging these experiences is. There's even a more recent survey. My wife ran across it in her research for her meditation book that in 2004, the Peer Institute did a study that showed over half of the American population have had some form of religious or spiritual experience. Now, they don't say transformative, but they're saying that people, you know, half of the population here in the United States, and this is a very reputable research foundation, say that you know, people have had some sort of religious or spiritual experience. And transformation, the transformation part of these experiences can be gradual. Sometimes it can be a lifelong process, you know, because sometimes it's precipitated by, you know, a sudden shift, you know, and if it's spiritual in nature, sometimes it can change our worldview, and that can be painful, or it can be in line with what our thoughts were, you know, and it can amplify that part of our lives. Many times they're exceptional experiences. The term I like to use is spiritually transformative experience, and I call everybody just experiencers, because it doesn't really matter the magnitude of these experiences. They can be very short-lived and simple, just experiencing an expansive presence of yourself and love, unconditional love, that sort of thing, in a certain situation or something like that. It can be sudden. It doesn't have to be precipitated by, you know, sitting on a cushion, you know, meditating for 6 hours or something like that. You know, it can happen spontaneously. And when we experience a shift in our worldview or we have one of these types of experiences, we often feel nothing's ever going to be the same, you know. And it's kind of like water wearing away a stone. Integrating these transformative experiences into our core way of being oftentimes requires patience and inner work, reconditioning and reshuffling our priorities, maybe required to catch up with our new expanded worldview.
Yes. You know, I know from my own experience that there can be this, you don't always know where to turn for resources. In fact, I will say that how I first came across you, David Bennett, was when I was at an expo looking for Catherine Lucas, who talks about spiritual emergencies, which is your emergences. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about, because I know that term is out there a lot too, and sometimes, and this did happen to me where I had an experience, it's now over 10 years ago, although it was a series that I had for a few years that had a real impact. I mean, they really were, they were both transformative and disruptive, and so I was looking for a resource, and I know that feeling of just wanting to find, you know, anybody, somebody who can help in a meaningful way with what's happened.
Yes, we were at that expo together because we both share the same publisher, and then we went on to a television show in Las Vegas together too. So I've gotten to know her a little bit over a short period of time there, and what her book is about is very much in tune with my book, and it's kind of interesting. They parallel each other very nicely, because some of these experiences can be spiritual emergency, where it creates a crisis within us, and many of these experiences can create large and small types of crisis, because after you've had the experience, you then have to process it, and it create in the processing, just the processing of the experience creates challenges.
Yeah.
Like just accepting this new worldview, this new returning back to life, you know, because it creates this duality. You know, okay, there was the old me, and now there's this new me that has this new way of seeing things, and I've had this experience, but how do I live with it? Because maybe it doesn't totally integrate, or it totally doesn't mesh with my old world view. And that was really typically my case, because I was the engineer of that research vessel, and I was very much an engineer, and I thought of things as pretty much black and white and logic-oriented. And then suddenly to have an esoteric type of experience that was more real than this life itself just totally, you know, created a huge problem for me, because I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't have anyone to talk about it, because in my world, you know, those things just didn't happen.
Yes, and that seems to happen to a lot of people, because even for me, I mean, I didn't have an NDE, but I had kind of a dramatic awakening after having a crisis, a real crisis, where I had to face my own mortality, and then that then led me to contemplate some spiritual things that eventually led me into a real emergence. And so, but the thing that I encountered, first of all, I had shut down spiritually before then. So it seems like it's pretty common that these things happen to us. They can just come out of the blue, because I wasn't prepared to have some highly mystical experience. I'd never had anything like that happen to me. And, you know, it seems pretty typical that it'll happen to a person who isn't necessarily spiritual at all. And, yes, it's an integration process. I'm still integrating. I've been doing work in the past month on integrating. It's a continual process for all of us, I think.
Yeah, it is. I have to totally agree with you. I've spoken with a number of experiences over the years, and it's a lifelong process.
Yeah.
And a gradual process. And the interesting thing is that consciousness itself doesn't change. Instead, it's our perception of consciousness that changes. Because who we are authentically doesn't change. It's more like what we do is we shed off our false selves, our personas. We lessen the materialistic ego and shed those elements so as to have a clearer communication with our higher consciousness.
Yes. I wonder how often my own experience, and I don't mind talking about some of it, is it was a visionary experience, and it was as if symbols mattered. It was almost like experiencing parables, and they were messages that had very real meaning that to this day matter to me about how to live my life and the world transforming and a lot of things. And I'm just curious, though, how much do people report that much where they start seeing symbolically? Or another thing is seeing synchronicities, you know, seeing synchronicities in the environment increase, meaningful coincidences for people who don't know that term, because we've got a broad audience here. So, you know, when you see a coincidence, it just is so unlikely and it's meaningful. Carl Jung talked about these.
Yeah, the synchronistic parts, take a step back. I think what happens is we adjust to that heightened, to more of a heightened sensitivity, to where we're aware a little bit more. We're paying a little more. We're being a little more mindful of what's going on around us and a part of our life and what's affecting us. And so we see those synchronistic events. Whereas before, we probably just weren't being mindful. They were probably still occurring, and I'm sure, and I'm 100% positive they still occur to everyone. It's just that we're not mindful and we're not being present enough to perceive it. I think what happens in these experiences is it knocks us back to our reality of our real being, our true being. And so we start paying attention from that lens instead of from our material lens where we're trying to, you know, make a living, you know, take care of everything that needs to be taken care of in life and those sort of things. And so those synchronistic events, and because we have this new heightened view of life, it allows us to see that, and it gives us clues that, oh, if this is happening, then maybe I need to go down that road. Maybe I need to jump in that rabbit hole. I need to investigate that a little bit further, as scary as it may seem. But we suddenly have new courage after some of these experiences to investigate something that maybe we never would have even thought of once before.
Yeah, I mean, it really opens you up in an entirely new way. Another aspect, and I'm curious about this, too, to see, because there may be listeners who have had this, and I'm really curious, is an aspect of mine is I was going through this awakening, I really was, but then I hit my head in the midst of this, and that's when it really started to take. In fact, I was in Kansas, and I've since thought about this. It was so Dorothy-like. In fact, I mean, it just couldn't be. It's a funny parallel. It was like I was Dorothy hitting my head, and then, and of course, here's the other aspect of this. And I don't know how much this has been explored. People who've hit their heads, you know. Then, of course, since I did fall out of touch, you know, I had, you know, MRIs and CAT scans and EEGs and different things to try to figure out what was going on. Nobody could really figure out. You know, there's that other part in the real world, and this is where the real, you know, emergency type situations happen, is nobody knows how to understand this. And you know, in my case, it just, nobody really knew, you know, what caused it. Was it a spiritual crisis, or was it the head, you know, hitting my head? What was it? But I am curious. You know, what about physical injuries like that? Do experiencers report things like, can that launch some kind of emergence or some kind of transformative experience? Is that something you've heard much about? Are you there? Uh-oh.
Sorry.
Oh, there you are.
Sorry, I muted my there's a lot
okay,
of
well,
I suddenly yes. I had a lot of noise at my end, so I muted my phone.
Okay, but you heard my question?
Absolutely.
I'm really curious about that.
Yes, absolutely. I have a number of friends, experiencers that have faced trauma, specifically head trauma.
Uh-huh.
And afterwards, it does create a little different dilemma for them, because part of, you know, because the standard medical treatment that goes along with that type of illness, you know, those people that are caring for you sometimes will discount your experience.
Yes.
Or,
absolutely.
You know, and devalue that experience. And so you're kind of caught in this dilemma. Well, you know, gee, you know, it felt awful real to me. In fact, it felt more than real to me. But but then these people are telling me, oh, that's just a part of the brain, or this or that or the other thing. There's some interesting, you know, with Dr. Eben Alexander, I mean, being a neurosurgeon who's had a near-death experience and him able to come back, there's some interesting reading now available where, you know, that kind of explains that, that it is possible to have these traumas to our brains and to our heads and have these experiences that are otherworldly. And it isn't an illusion. It isn't a hallucination. It isn't, you know, it's a real event. Just because we can't explain it, you know, doesn't mean that it isn't real. It's kind of like the paranormal is a normal experience that just isn't understood yet, you know?
Yes.
And so we need to be tolerant, and we need to be tolerant of the people that are caring for us that discount the experience as well.
Yes.
I just love them because that's their reality. They haven't had some sort of experience that has altered the way they look, but I'm seeing more and more people, more and more nurses and first responders and people like that coming to my events anyway, and listening and reporting that they have witnessed people coming back from some of these experiences, firsthand. So they've observed someone come back from these experiences, and it has changed the way they view and the way they practice their medicine and the way they, you know, view life as well.
Yes.
But trauma does cause experience. It does cause experience, and so I wouldn't discount it at all. At all. In fact, I even have a number of friends who have had drug-related experiences. And at first, and you can imagine the dilemma there. Oh my gosh, so that creates a bit of a dilemma. But tell the difference is it kind of spiritual in nature? Is it non-judgmental? Is it calm? Is it peaceful? Is it loving? You know, those are the experiences that that usually stand out and become transformative.
Yeah. Now, I'll say my own experience was that it was very loving until I got afraid. And then it's like crashing down. And I have theorized on this myself, and I'm sure I will write about this at some point, but just because I had a very conservative upbringing, David, when I started, I mean, I had spirit guides and stuff. I mean, I had the full, things were happening that clashed with my fundamentalist upbringing, and they were supernatural, and I thought this could be demonic, you know, because that's what we're taught. You know, you're taught signs and wonders and, you know, what's the source that sure, you know, and I had people around me in Kansas and in my life who would interpret it that way, that this could have been, you know, some form of demonic event is what some people felt. And I internally, you know, I wasn't sure. I thought I was scared too. And so I think that's another aspect of this is that we can fall into fear, and that actually can really impact the kind of experience that we're having if we crash down into a fear-based, non-love-based way of looking at it.
Yeah, coping with negative reactions, whether they're internal or external reaction from someone.
And it was both for me. Yes,
yes. Yes. Because that's not uncommon, because there is some faiths out there that teach us to look out for demonic type of possession
and
things like that.
Right.
So, yes, I mean, it can be misinterpreted, and it has been misinterpreted by a number of people. I know experiencers that have been excommunicated from their church and things like that. It's just,
yeah.
It's kind of sad that those things happen today in this day and age, but I think the word is getting out more and more, and hopefully those types of negative reactions will diminish as time goes on and people become more aware of that this is a real phenomenon, you know, that this is real.
Yeah. You know, I felt like, you know, when it comes internally, just for anyone out there who's coming from this background, I just want to communicate this. Something that I did is, and it took time, but ultimately the easiest thing to do is just ask for your creator's help, because people will tell you, if you come from this background, and you even use the word God, they'll say, well, which God are you praying to, or, you know, or whatever. They always come up with some way of, and it can be a real problem, David, because it becomes like, you know, what's the source? Is it, you know, God or something else? Well, eventually I stopped believing in something else because it became very inconsistent with my experience to believe in any kind of Satan. And so, but back then, I just asked for help from my creator, because there's no confusion about who that is. And that's just something I want to put out there for people who, if they have doubt about this kind of thing, ask for help from your creator, because it does arrive. I mean, that's when I started really getting help, and people showed up in my life to help me understand it better, and they still show up. Even now, I'm still working on this very actively, and people are still showing up helping me. And I think that'll be true for anyone who's been through this. They, you know, I love how you talk about community community on your page, David. I wonder if you could talk some more about that, you know, where we can turn and how we can trust.
Yeah. In fact, it's kind of interesting. I've just started expanding on the whole community aspect for myself as well, because there are a number of people out there that can help an experiencer early on. Many times people that are in the transformative or enlightened coaching that have been trained in those areas, you know, transformative and enlightened coaching, they can help a lot of times. But you touched on something. I just want to go back, and then we'll talk a little more about community.
Yeah, go right ahead. I had a lot of things there.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. And the necessity in the transformative process to find time for silence and introspection, and that to find our inner authority. I think that's a huge point that you brought up, because once we do connect to our silence, it allows us to open up to our inner knowing, and in silence, that inner realm of knowing broadens our understandings of the experience, and so it's very, very helpful. The two things that I recommend to anyone who's had an experience is, one, write down the experience in as much detail as you can recall, and going into that process of writing it many times, more information will come out. And another great way is just in daily, creating a daily practice of stillness to help you to start to open up to your rhythms and your inner knowing and all of that. And once you start to awaken that, it's just like the experience. You can't go back. It's, you know, once you've had the experience and then you start working with stillness, it creates that more of awakening, more of a transformation, and it brings some sense of peace to the experience as well, I found. When we go into stillness, we find that inner peace within us, and it allows us then that retrospective understanding of the experience, which is incredibly helpful. If you have trouble with that, you might even try regression work. I found I have someone who is locally here who has worked with some of my experiencers in the life between life type of work of Michael Newton.
Yes.
And that has helped experiencers to gain a broader understanding of the experience as well. It's another great avenue to explore if you're having trouble coping with your experience. But then community. I'm a very strong advocate for finding community for experiencers. I really believe that being with other experiencers and not having to explain yourself, it's an interesting thing happens when you get a few experiencers together. They just accept one another. They immediately just go to acceptance of, I understand that you've had an experience and it's changed the way you live your life. That's an underlying acceptance that goes in, that experiencers express to each other once they meet each other. And that's an incredible gift, to be able to experience that and then to be able to share without having to say, oh, well, the doctor said I was dead for, you know, 15 minutes. I don't need to go into that at all with another experiencer, because it doesn't matter. That's what's
anything.
Yeah, I don't have to prove anything, and so it's so important. It's liberating to be in that type of environment where you don't have to justify yourself and that sort of thing. So I myself have worked on my coaching skills, my transformative, enlightened type of coaching skills, and I just completed a course that certified me as a spiritual guidance counselor through ASSIST, which is the American Center for Integration of Spiritually Transformative Experiences. It's spelled ACISTE.org. And an amazing group. They're trying to create more community and more training for therapists so that there's more help available to experiencers. They're trying to break down those barriers that we don't, you know, that we feel we don't have to feel isolated, and because, and then, I think a lot of experiencers, you could create some community. It's not hard to find other experiencers if you start hanging around, you know, some of the sometimes the metaphysical spiritualist churches. There's a yeah. bunch of different outlets where you can go. And the minute you start to speak up that you've had a transformative experience, you're going to find other people. And then you can create a little group of friends that sit around the table sharing a cup of coffee or tea, and you can then experience this sense of community, of building community with other experiencers. I've seen how beneficial it is, and I have a local group here in Central New York that meets every month, and I have experiencers that help me out with that when I'm traveling, because I do a lot of talks and traveling, and so I have other experiencers that help facilitate that. And I also help facilitate, there's a spiritual retreat that occurs in St. Louis every year in the spring at the Mercy Center in St. Louis. And that's a really neat, because we limit that retreat. It's a 3-day retreat at this beautiful convent. It has these beautiful grounds and walking paths and a huge, biggest labyrinth I've ever seen. And then we have a program where we can be with each other. It's kind of where we go into a circle with each other, and we share, and we sing, and we dance, and we play, and we do a whole bunch of things. It's very, very empowering, because one thing that happens to experiencers in life, we feel that call to be of service, and so we a lot of times tend to feel like we're giving. But when you come into community with other experiencers, it's like you can fill your cup back up, you know, so that you can be all of who you are. And it's part of the reason why I help with this retreat as well, is because I've noticed that when experiencers come there, their cups get filled up, and it also, you get to hear other experiencers, and and what has worked for them in certain situations and things like that, and it gives you more tools on how to live your life empowered and being, you know, in touch with your, you know, your higher consciousness, that sort of thing.
Well, it sounds wonderful, and you know, I honestly, I probably represent a lot of experiencers where I'm only just coming to terms with my experience, you know, which started over 10 years ago. I mean, I have not beyond, I did find a Unity Church, and I've found people, certainly, but I think it can be a long process, and you know, having to integrate it. And I love what you had to say about the resources in terms of counseling out there. I feel there is such a need. That was the hardest part for me 10 years ago, was finding the resources that could be truly helpful, because there can be resources out there that will put you down some path that really doesn't match what's going on with you. And then that can be really troubling. And the best thing that I see happening right now is how people like you and Catherine Lucas, and there are now whole networks, you know, getting involved with the mental health establishment to say, you know, here's what you need to look for. And when you say that you have first responders even learning from you, David, that's so reassuring. I had an experience, I guess it was about nine years ago, I don't know, but I had a series. It was kind of that period in my life where, it was just kind of, it wasn't all the time, but I had a few things happen that were emergences, and at one point I had a researcher come talk to me and said that she was researching spiritual, not emergencies, but crises. She wanted to talk to me. It was before HIPAA, and I guess she somehow got information on me from somebody, and she wanted to talk to me about my experience, and I was so reassured by that, even then. I mean, that was a good 9-10 years ago. because I thought, well, thank God, at least somebody is looking at this in a different way, because I kept trying to tell people, and it's so hard. I mean, you try to tell people, no, you know, this doesn't, it's not what it seems. There's something to this that's spiritual. And a lot of times people around you, you know, they either skew it, like what happened to me with it being demonic, or they pathologize it in some way that, you know, like you said, if there's been trauma or if there's, you know, any kind of question of mental health, you know, it can get really confusing for people. It's like a labyrinth, and for loved ones too. It's I find that over the years I've become more and more forgiving of loved ones who had no idea how to approach this, whether they thought it was demonic or they thought it was something else, or even to this day it's hard for people to understand. And and I guess forgiveness is important too, because a lot of us, you know, we've been burned along the way. You know, things happen with people that are rough, and so anyway, I know. I hope that as I speak of my own experience, I'm representing other people out there, because I'm just on the verge of really trying to explore this thing myself in a really good way.
Susan, you are right on track. I mean, so many experiences go through exactly what you just said. And
yeah.
You said you're 10 years out. That's the normal integration phase, anywhere from 7 to 14 years of just coming to real grips with the experience. And that integration continues on. It's a lifelong process. But those initial 7 to 14 years are usually the roughest, where you're trying to really get it integrated into where it's a part of your being, it's a part of your, you know, your perception of life and that sort of thing. And family, you're so right about family. It's important that we include our family in this process. And that's hard. That's hard because our family know how to push our buttons. And they know how, you know, and so many times they're the hardest ones to open up to. Many times we can open up to a fellow experiencer who may be even a stranger, you know, before we can open up to our own family. But that's getting your feet under you again, because, you know, you've been swept off your feet by this experience, and you're trying to get grounded back, you know, into a new reality, and you're trying to get your footing. And that's not the time to open up to someone that you know in your family that's going to be critical of it, because you need to gain that self-assurance within yourself before you can broach that with your family. But you can't put off the family forever, because that's not being truthful to yourself. You can't live this life openly with a secret. You know, I mean, it has to be a part of your being, where it's a part of your truth, and where it's you're living it on a day-to-day basis. And that's scary at first. That's scary during that fourth, you know, 7 to 14 years. That's a scary element, to think of yourself as being able to be open and honest about this experience. My experience was over 30 years ago, so it's very easy for me to talk about it. I've had a lot of years of integration, and I've been through a lot of it. Again, I had the same problem. My first experience caused my divorce, because I was changing so much that my family didn't understand. I had a very difficult time coping.
And actually, that's a really good question, because the same thing happened to me, David. And, I mean, I had a marriage end, too, because there just was, you know, it was just a disconnect over this. And I wonder how common that is, because, you know, here you're going through the integration of the, I mean, you don't even know how to integrate what the heck happened to you. And then you have the totally tumultuous aspect of that, you know, marriage coming to an end on top of it. And I wonder how many experiencers have that happen. I suspect it's happened quite a bit.
Yes, there's research on for near-death experiencers, and now there's research underway for spiritually transformative experiences, but for NDEers, it's over 75% of experiences that are married. Their marriage ends up in divorce or separation or something like that. Because, and so one thing I tell experiencers nowadays is to, you know, bring your family into this process that, you know, you've had this experience, you're having trouble coping with it, and you're trying to understand it. And when you approach your family from that point of view, many times they want to help. In fact, there's an amazing movie. I don't know if you've seen this. It's a documentary. It's called Wake Up. And it's about this guy, Jonas, who had suddenly... has these new perceptions in life. It just, you know, he's ordinary life, and all of a sudden he wakes up and he can hear angels and demons and auras and ghosts and all of these different things. It totally changes his perspective in life. And his girlfriend, fiance, I'm not sure, I think girlfriend, is there. He includes her in most of it, but he holds back some of it because she has this doubting side, you know. It's a very interesting movie. I really encourage, especially experiencers who are in that integration phase, to really watch that movie. I think it's a real-to-life documentary of someone who then goes on this quest of trying to find some answers, you know, and eventually comes to acceptance, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to come to acceptance of the experience that this is the new me. This is who I really am. And this is where this is the me that's going to now forge a more bright and beautiful future for myself, you know. And it's hard at first to, you just can't go there right off the bat. You have to come to grips with it. You have to learn, you know, what it's all about and that sort of thing. And it is a searching. It is a quest that suddenly you're thrust into after having experience.
Yes. I so relate to this. And no, I haven't seen the movie. I've heard of it. I know I've seen it out there, and I'm putting it on my list because it sounds like something we should all watch. Because I think, you know, you just have to deal with so much. And even being honest, do you know, David, that I think it was only... maybe last year, you know, I've had this show for 3 years. It's been over 3 years now, and I only started talking about my own experience openly at all on this show not that long ago, because that tends to be the hardest part is, well, it can, there are many challenging things, but it's not easy to be honest about it because, and even openly like this, because people... They have all different ways of viewing these sorts of things, and I think that some of us really are coming from some trauma where we were misunderstood or, you know, steered the wrong direction, and then we finally, I mean, I spent a lot of time getting myself in the right direction in terms of counseling and, you know, finally getting through that, and now I still have people who informally assist me on my path, and even you, I mean, just talking to you is helpful. I mean, we all, these groups, that's something opening up to me. But talking about it, this is what I'm getting at, is, and I know you've said it already, it's not easy to talk openly about what's happened and to start to understand it better, but it certainly is helping me.
Yeah, it's that process. We all have to work through becoming who we are, you know. Even as a child, we're trying to develop who are we, you know. And the big question is, there's two big questions. Who am I? And then the next question is, and what do I want? You know, and so I'm not talking about what do I want, a big house on the hill, or a new sports car. I'm talking about a deeper meaning of what do I want. You know, do I want that big house on the hill because I want more of a view of nature. I want more of a view of reality. You know, and where do I find that? You know, sort of thing. You know, so you have to ask those. Those are internal questions where you listen to your heart, and your heart will give you those answers if you take the time to listen. I constantly reframe my life as to, you know, what's going on. I've had a lot of synchronistic events in my life that have steered me totally down a whole different path, and I love it. I think it's a great way to live. It's frightening at first because you know, we're always concerned about, you know, how we're going to pay the bills and things like that. But when we're following our heart's desire, we're following our passion. The universe is usually there to support us, you know, in some way, some fashion, you know.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I found is, you know, when this started with me, I was both a mom working at home as a computer scientist. You know, I worked in a totally different field. And only in the last, I don't know, few years, I guess, it's been maybe four, I'm running, I can't keep track, it doesn't matter. I have found a major shift there where I really want to work in the spiritual community, and I'm shifting everything. I mean, I've shifted everything about my life more and more. The more I integrate this, I mean, even having this show. I mean, this is really more of a hobby, but it doesn't matter. It's still a really vital part of my path. And just other things. And I see that happening to people, just as you describe, where, you know, you just want to be of service. You want so much to, you know, it's that love that comes through. I mean, I was overwhelmed, David. I mean, years ago, I had never felt such amazing love. I wanted to fall to my knees, I mean, because that's the only way I knew. But this wasn't the kind of love that wanted you to fall to your knees. It would take you by your hands and pick you up off your knees. So, I mean, you know,
right.
You felt
yeah.
it. And now it comes through more and more. And that's what I hope for other experiencers. It seems like, you know, we really do start to do work in the world and find a passion that may be totally different than what we were doing before, because that's certainly what's going on with me.
Yeah, and it creates a way of being where you're trying to live your life with that loving intention, and bringing that love through so that it infuses all of your intention in all that you do, you know, so that you're living a life where you're contributing back. You are being of service just by living with loving intention, you know.
Yeah.
But it can be that can be a concept that you understand, but very hard to live at first until you get to a point where you can bring that love in more and more and more. I like to say, you know, because you have a hammer in your hand doesn't mean you know how to build a house. You know, you've had an experience, but you have to learn, you have to create the skills of taking what you've experienced and then being able to apply it into this physical world, you know. So it takes a little bit of work, but it's a job that's really great. Like, this may seem like more of a part-time kind of hobbyish type of thing, but it's interesting how those suddenly can build into more, you know. They can suddenly there's a book, and next thing there's something else, and then there's, you know, and they kind of build on themselves, and that's fine, you know. Allow it to happen in its time. One of the problems we have in our society is we feel like we have to rush. I want serenity now, you know. You know.
Yeah.
But it's a process. It requires, you know, work on our part and devotion to our practice, to being that loving intention, so that we can then be of total service, you know, that sort of thing. And even when you get to the point where you feel like you can really infuse that loving intention into what your projects and what you're doing, you still fall down. I mean, we're human, you know, and you have to be forgiving. Just like you're trying to be forgiving of those people that may not be accepting of your experience, you have to be forgiving of yourself, too, and tolerant with yourself because we're human. We fall down, and that's okay.
I am such a work in progress. I mean, I have joked about this show so many times that I created a show about fear, and yet, you know, I easily fall into fear, and it's something, but it's something that's changing. I mean, over the years, more and more, it gets easier for me. And, you know, even in the past year, I've had significant progress on that. And it's one of the reasons I created a show around fear, in that how can we step away from fear? Because I do feel that before my experience, I was a very fear-based person in a lot of ways, and it did influence my experience and how to integrate it as well. And so I appreciate how we have to acknowledge that we are all works in progress. And, you know, I've fallen down in the past week. I mean, it's like I'm as much as anyone, and I always need to remind people that even though I have a show about getting beyond fear, I started it because I personally am working on this. And I love these guests coming on. I mean, you guys are all great. I mean, I think my guests have changed my life so much, and I am just so happy that you can help everybody else at the same time. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? When we fall down, it's kind of like we're pulling weeds, you know, because we recognize that we just fell down. We can, yeah. You know, and then we can see them clearer, and then that way, that's how we overcome these self-limiting type of habits, you know, and that way we can cultivate more mindful attention and awareness,
yeah.
You know. But you know, the falling down sometimes is part of the process. And we, once you recognize it, oh, I had to do that so that I could see this clearly.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it makes so much more sense, you know. But it can be a struggle, and it is a struggle, you know. But it's also beautiful at the same time. We don't appreciate how beautiful the struggle is sometimes. That's something that I try to convey in a lot of my talks, is that the struggle itself sometimes is beautiful because it makes us reach beyond ourselves to overcome the challenge, you know. And once we overcome the challenge, wow, it feels so much better and so much liberating. Yeah. And who knows, we might fall backwards, you know, two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so normal. I mean, it's just being human, you know. And then you can, it's interesting though, once you've found that you've overcome a challenge, it never, never fails. And I see this all the time in my own life and in my other friends, my other experiencer friends and stuff, that once we overcome a challenge, the next thing we're asked to be a teacher or a mentor for someone else who's having the same challenge. You know, it never fails that those people, they don't understand why they're drawn to you, but then it becomes clear once, oh, I'm in the middle of this. Oh, gosh, I've been there, you know. And you become then the teacher because that's our role in life, to be the student and the teacher simultaneously all the time throughout our life. It's really an interesting journey that's what life is really all about.
Yeah, that's fascinating you should say that, because I find that happening to me. And we used to joke, you know, when I had my technical education, I was like a teaching assistant. And when you're a teaching assistant, you don't necessarily have all these concepts mastered yourself, and yet you're asked to teach it. I mean, you have some mastery, but and it's interesting how circumstances come up to teach things in the spiritual realm as well, where you're continuing to learn yourself, and through conveying some things, you learn it even better for yourself. And that applies in every possible discipline, and it seems to apply here too, because it started to happen to me too.
Exactly.
So I get that.
Yeah. The best way to learn something is to teach it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That may be a step, you know, coming up more for me in the future too, is that, you know, to be open to those opportunities and to see, because that seems to be the most important thing that I'm learning, is to really be open to what's around the corner, because you don't always know. I mean, how the heck would I have known this radio show would be an opportunity of some kind. You know, there was just no way of knowing that. It just started on a whim. And that's so true of anything, isn't it, David, that there are things that you might be called to do that you can't even really imagine what they are right now.
No, you can't see around the corner. I like to think of life as a spiral ever turning upward, and I think that what's important is to keep that transformative process moving toward increasing your insight and allow things to be shaking up now and then, because we can't see around that corner, and try something different, you know, whatever it takes. And sometimes that requires courage. Not knowing what's around the corner can be frightening. And that's why, you know, the frontier beyond fear is looking around the corner, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
That's what it's all about. It's about looking into that unknown. We don't know what's ahead of us, you know? But I think as we create more community, as we start to work together, as we talk more openly about our experiences, I think that as we change ourselves, that's how we change the world, you know. By creating that loving intention within myself, I'm then going to convey it into my work. I'm then going to convey it into my business or whatever it may be. I'm going to bring it into my community projects and my groups and my social interactions, you know. And who knows, you know, and those people may pick up on, boy, that's a great way to do things. And suddenly you're creating that community that's more based on, you know, heart-centered type of living, you know.
Yeah, it seems like the more I come into contact with people like you, David, and other people who are doing a lot of good work in the world, it's trust. You know, we learn to trust because we see other people like you. You know, you're a great story. I mean, your whole story, it really helps us to trust when we have doubt, to know about people like you and what you've done with your experiences. And so that certainly helps with what's around the corner, is to just find more and more trust that we're loved. That is just the biggest thing, that we are loved.
Yeah, just the trust and surrendering to the mystery. Allow life to unfold and worry less about the past or the future and stop resisting. Get out of our own way so that we can find, you know, that sense of aliveness, that sense of wonder, you know. Breathe life into that sense of wonder. I really love that.
Yeah, I love that. Well, we've really rapidly got into almost the last 2 minutes. I lost track a little bit of the live show. It won't cut us off completely, but I want to give you a chance to first of all, thank you so much, David, for being on the show again. I've really enjoyed this conversation. And also let us know more again where you can be found. But thank you from my heart. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me again. I really appreciate what you're doing with this show.
Thanks. And I'll just let the audience know, dharmatalks.com, dharma-talks.com is where they can find you. Anything else you want to tell the audience in the last few seconds here?
Yeah, you can find Dharma Talks on Twitter and Dharma Talks on Facebook are also avenues to reach out to me as well.
Yeah, okay, well, I hope they do find you out there. And thanks again so much for being here today, David. Thanks. And you have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. Thanks. All right. Real quick, in the last minute, I'm just going to let people know about the shows coming up. I've got a show on Friday, November 22nd. Early show, 9 a.m. Pacific, because we have a guest from South Africa. Michael Tellinger is coming on the show for the very first time, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern time, and he is an ancient civilizations expert, quite well known, and I am just so excited to talk with Michael Tellinger this Friday, November 22nd. Then a special a week from today, Dr. Alan G. Hunter is coming back to the show to talk about gratitude in the U.S., and that'll be Monday, November 25th at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. So we've got some great guests coming up. To learn more about the upcoming schedule, got quite a good schedule going for December and already into January. Got some really interesting people coming. Go to frontierbeyondfear.com. Frontierbeyondfear.com has pretty much all the information you need on upcoming shows and also all the archived podcasts, because I really am so thankful for the many guests that have come to this show. And there's quite an archive out there now, including David's last show. So I invite you to listen to David Bennett's last show as well, where he talks about his near-death experience. So thank you, everyone, for being here today. I hope this has been helpful to you. If you've had a spiritually transformative experience or you have someone you love in your life who you know has had something like this, I really hope this helps you to start looking for resources out there and understand that it's a process, because I'm understanding that more and more that, you know, we just need to have patience with ourselves, because it's a wonderful thing that unfolds over time, and I'm finding that more and more myself. So I am just so thankful for the people coming to the show who are able to help us all with so many different aspects of our paths. Again, thanks for being here today, and I hope you find peace on your path today, wherever this show finds you.